The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpotim. Mishpotim contains many, many mitzvahs, both Essays and Leisah says positive and negative commandments. One mitzvah, which is brought in the Parsha, Chof Gimel, Posuk Aleph, Leisisa Shema Shov, Altosh Shot Chimrosh Elios Eid Chomos. Leisisa Shema Shov, that a person, the Targum says, Lei Sikabel Shmad Shoker. The person should not accept, literally it means falsehood. But actually what it means, Rashi brings, that a person is not allowed to accept, to receive Loshon Hora, slander on another person. And also it refers, that a judge is not allowed to listen to the claims and the accusations of one of the litigants before the other one has come, unless the other one is also present. This is one of the places in the Torah where it explicitly prohibits Loshon Hora, slandering of one's friend. We have said many shurim in the past on the topic of Loshon Hora. I'd like to go into it again this evening, but from a different angle, from an aspect that we have not dealt with on a Wednesday night, and that is to go into some of the indirect essays, and Leisa says, mitzvahs which one transgresses when he speaks Loshon Hora. The Chofetz Chaim, the Chorei Livrocha, in his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, lists that there is the possibility that when one speaks Loshon Hora, he transgresses, or he can transgress, 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and also bring himself into the category of three curses which are explicitly mentioned in the Torah. This is quite a number. And he goes through each and every one of them to explain how it relates to Loshon Hora. We've dealt with this on a shir on Shabbos, the shurim that we have on Shabbos at the Brocha, but never before on a Wednesday night. So this evening, we'd like to go into some of them. We wouldn't have time to go into all of them, but perhaps the first 10 negative commandments we'll be able to. Just a very brief introduction in order to review again the severity of the Avera. A few points that the Chofetz Chaim brings in his preface. Firstly, this was the Chet HaRishon. This caused the first sin, transgression, that's mentioned in the Torah and that ever took place in the creation of the world, because it was the serpent that enticed Chava to eat from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas Tevera, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, by telling her that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to eat is because he ate from this tree and he created the world, and if you will eat, you will also be so mighty as he. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein gibur miskane begibur kemeisai, a person who is a mighty person, he is jealous of someone of equal strength, and therefore he prohibited you from eating from the tree. So the Nochash, the serpent, slandered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this caused Chava and subsequently Odom to transgress on the mitzvahs Hashem. So it caused the first Avera in the world. Secondly, its consequences were that it brought Misa La'ilam, brought death to the entire world. Because had they not eaten from the tree, then they would have had the privilege of eating from the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, and they would have lived forever, and there would never have been death in the world. Because they ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Almighty chased them out of the Gan, from Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, and they were not allowed to eat from the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, and this brought death into the world. So the consequences were traumatic. It created perhaps the greatest basic change that the world has ever known. Thirdly, we spoke a few weeks ago how the entire Golus Mitzrayim, the exile to Egypt, came about through Yosef. Yosef was sold, went down to Egypt, his brothers went down, and through this he demanded to see Binyamin. So then Binyamin also came down, and then Yaakov came down. And this is how Klal Yisrael got to Mitzrayim, got to Egypt, and into the Golus. Now, through what act was Yosef, or caused the sale of Yosef, which brought him down to Egypt? So the Torah tells us, because of the hatred of his brothers for him. And the Torah reveals to us why they hated him. Because he brought Dibas Ro, he would bring slander against them to his father Yaakov. So if we look for the source, the root, the Sheresh, which brought Klal Yisrael into Golus Mitzrayim, the exile of Egypt, which they were there for some 400 years or 210 years, it was a Dibaro, it was Loshon Hora, the slander that Yosef spoke against his brothers. A fourth point, it was the Siba, it was the cause of all of our Goliaths, of all of our exiles, major exiles in the world. Why? Because when Klal Yisrael were in the desert coming out of Mitzrayim, and they were ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe sent scouts, Meraglim, and they were made see Dibas Oretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael. And because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you will not go into the land, you will die in the desert. And it took place on the 9th of Av. And they wept that night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you are weeping for no reason. I will set aside this night for a Yom Bechiya L'Dedes, a day of weeping forever. And it was that day that became the day throughout history which brought Goliath's exile and churban and destruction to Klal Yisrael. And this all came about because they were made see a Dibas Oretz, that they slandered Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara in Erechin says, if one slanders Eitzim Vavonim, something which is made of only wood and stone, and this is the punishment, so how much more so when he slanders another human being? So it was the source of all of our Goliaths. And the Maral adds there, had they gone into Eretz Yisrael directly from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, there would have never been a Golus outside of Eretz Yisrael. We would have always remained there. But because it was Hifsika Inyan, there was an interruption between the going out of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and the coming into Eretz Yisrael, so from there came possibilities of Goliaths. And a fifth point, it was the direct Sibam, the direct cause of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Alma Nechrav, why was it destroyed? Because of the Avera of Sinas Chinam and Loshon Hora. And also of Beitar. Chofetz Chaim brings from the Medrash that the great Churban of Beitar, which caused death to multitudes of Jews, which was the last stronghold during the time of the Roman era, this was also brought about through an episode of Loshon Hora. And then we have what we've mentioned many times from the Maral, that the dibur, the power of speech which was given to man, is his greatest attribute. This is the ma'alas ha'odom, the highest level of man, and therefore when he brings ruination through his power of speech, it can affect more than any other avera. In addition to these points, which we very briefly reviewed, because on each point there's much to elaborate, the Chafetz Chaim adds another point, which he says, why do we find such severity in Lashon Hara? The ramifications we've seen, and the Gemara tells us that Magdil Aveinu is keneged Gilarai Shpicha Domim Averizora, that a person who speaks Lashon Hara, especially someone who constantly speaks it, his avenus, his transgressions, will equal those of these three cardinal transgressions of the Torah, of idolatry and adultery and incest and the spilling of blood. So another reason why he writes Shikamat Heim Kelelin Kol Halavin Vaesin Bein Odom Lechaveri. Because when one speaks Lashon Hara, there is the likelihood that through this he's transgressing almost all of the averus in the Torah, which apply to man and his fellow man. The harbe bein odom lamokam, and many also that apply between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're not only speaking about a single avera, but one that encompasses almost all of the averus between man and his fellow man. When we refer to the avera of Lashon Hara, there are several principles to keep in mind which defines this avera. Actually, there are eight principles. The first is the definition of Lashon Hara, slander, is when you speak negatively, you downright, you defame your fellow man. The definition of rechilus, which is also explicitly mentioned in the Torah, is talebearing. Not when you speak something against Reuven, but you repeat to Reuven something that Shimon said negatively about him. Shimon said something about Reuven which was not too nice. Or Shimon did something to Reuven which was not too nice, and Reuven didn't know about it. If I bring these tidings to Reuven, this is rechilus, talebearing. So Lashon Hara, the definition of Lashon Hara is when you say gnai, you say something negative about Reuven, and rechilus is when you repeat something that another person said about Reuven, or something that another person did in regards to Reuven that was negative. That's two points. Three, Lashon Hara, and unfortunately many people make an error in this, there's no distinction in Lashon Hara whether it's ala emes, whether what is being said is true, or ala sheker, or whether what is being said is not true. Both involve Lashon Hara. If it's not true, it can involve even other averus also, it's a shemra. But ala emes v'ala sheker. So that's two more points. Another two points, there's no difference in the avera whether it's befonav or shalei befonav. Whether you speak negatively about Reuven in Reuven's presence or behind Reuven's back. Both are Lashon Hara. And the seventh and eighth point are the avera involves the mesaper, the one who speaks the Lashon Hara, and the Makabel, the one who accepts it. What does it mean? What's the definition to accept? That you believe it. If you listen to some slander and you believe it, then you are also a guilty party. And the one who accepts it is of equal guilt than the one who speaks it. there is no heter, there is no permission to listen to Lashon Hara, just as there is no permission given to speak Lashon Hara. So these are 8 points which we must remember when we are defining Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, slander, is when you speak negatively about a friend. Rechilas is when you repeat something that someone else said or someone did negatively in regards to a friend. It applies both if it's true or if it's not true, if it's in his presence or not in his presence, and whether it applies to the one who speaks the Lashon Hara and the one who receives, who believes the Lashon Hara. The fact is, in some places, the Chazal, the sages tell us that the one who believes it is even perhaps a greater transgressor. And one final point. There are times when one is permitted to speak Lashon Hara. And there are times when one is required to speak Lashon Hara. And this is a whole section in its own right that we spent several shurim on this in our shurim on Shabbos. For example, to protect yourself or to protect someone else. Someone calls you and he wants a recommendation. Say, wants a recommendation about a certain person. He wants to do business with him. He wants to hire him as a worker. He wants to make a shidduch with him. Say, and you happen to know for a fact that this person is not a good person. Right? He's not to be trusted. Or whatever it might be. Then there are times when you are permitted and even times when you are obligated to speak Lashon Hara. Or if you're called to Beis Din to testify. You saw someone steal and two people, there were two qualified witnesses that saw this, so you go to the Beis Din and you testify. So you testify in Lashon Hara, but still you're doing it to protect the other man. But there are times. But one must always take into consideration, and this the Chofetz Chaim underlines very strongly, that many, many times when Jews speak Lashon Hara, they generally do it under a pretense that this Lashon Hara one may say, or this Lashon Hara is a mitzvah to say. And the huge, huge majorities of such cases are totally false. And he says that a person, when he speaks Lashon Hara, he's taking his life into his hands, his own life. As we mentioned, is the onish. The punishment is tremendous. And therefore, he must carefully weigh all of the situations. And he says the best illustration that we can learn from is Yosef himself. Yosef was known as Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous. When he brought Lashon Hara against his brothers, Yosef was not a Baal Lashon Hara, he was not a slanderer. How could one, in one aspect, call him Yosef HaTzadik, the Righteous, and in the other aspect that he was a Baal Lashon Hara? There was no doubt that his intentions were very, very good. He was bringing information against his brothers to his father because he felt that his father should know what they're doing. And the fact is, the Chazal tell us that he was telling the father that they were doing certain averus, and they were not. He didn't make it up. So his intentions were good. He was miskaven l'teva, and he felt this Lashon Hara one was permitted or even required to relate. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, Sei v'lomad miYosef HaTzadik, go and learn from Yosef HaTzadik how much these cheshbonos helped. The Chazal relate that everything that happened to Yosef was mida keneged mida. Whatever he related against his brothers, this happened to him. He was sold as a slave because he said that they were accusing the children of the shvoches, of the maidservants, they looked at them as slaves. And so forth. So therefore, when one wants to speak Lashon Hara, and he feels that in such a case one should, or one can, or it's a mitzvah, he better first study the halachas very carefully before he enters into such dangerous ground. And as mentioned, unfortunately, many, many times, people constantly speak Lashon Hara under the guise that this Lashon Hara is a mitzvah. Now we'll go into some of these related averas, both the actual avera itself and the related averas. In the negative commandments, which we mentioned that there are 17, the first one is what it states in the Torah, Leseilech Rochel Ba'amecho. This is a posuk in Kedoshi, Tes Zayin, that you shall not go as a talebearer amongst your nation. Leseilech Rochel Ba'amecho, Leisamer Al Dam Reecho, Ani Hashem. You shall not go as a talebearer amongst your nation, and you shall not stand by and see the blood of your friend being spilled. These are two unrelated mitzvahs. But the Gemara does bring there is a relation. Because Torah is telling us that someone who's a talebearer is causing blood to be shed in Klal Yisrael. The Rambam brings Ezel Rochel Zeshitain Vorim Vahelik Mizel Izeva Ime Kacho Mapleni Olecho Vakacho Kach Shamati Alpleni. The talebearer is someone who goes from one person to the other and he tells them what Shimon said about you. This is what I heard Shimon say, this is what he told me. Afal Pishu Hu Emes, even though this is the truth, Hareze Machri Vesa'il. This person is destroying the world. And then there is even a greater avera, admi oid, which also is inclusive in this negative commandment that Rambam brings. This is the Rambam in Perek Zayin Mehilchos Deos. V'hu b'chal lav zeh, v'hu ha'masapi b'gnus chaveira. And this is someone who speaks negatively to defame the reputation of his friend. Afal pisha eimer emes, even though it is true. Afal eimer sheker. If what he says is not true, then this is even another avera. And that's the avera of Meitzi Shemra al Chaveri, of saying lies in regards to his friend. That's the first commandment, negative commandment, that one would transgress when he speaks Lashon Hara. A second commandment is what we have in our Sedra. Le'siso shem ashov. That a person should not listen to slander. Now the Gemara brings in Psochim Daf Kuf Yud Ches that this negative commandment does not only refer to the recipient, to the one who's listening to the Lashon Hara, but also refers to the one who's speaking Lashon Hara. Leisasikori doesn't only refer to the one who's bringing these tidings, but also to the one who receives it. And even though it states shemashov, which means you shall not accept a false statement about your friend, but from the Gemara is clear that it refers also to a true statement. So therefore, again, when one speaks Lashon Hara, or one listens to Lashon Hara, he'll transgress a second commandment. And that's Leisisa Shem Ashov, and that's the one in Ar Sedra. That's in Mishpotim, Perechov Gimel, Posuk Aleph. A third commandment is found in Parshas Ki Tsetse, Chof Dalet Hei. This would be in the volume Chof Dalet Hei. It's Chof Dalet Ches. Ishama benega atzoras. You shall guard yourself carefully against the plague of leprosy. Lishmar me'ayd velasois. To be very careful and to do kechol asheyiru eschem ha'kohanim alavim kasher tzivisim tishmur lasois. In accordance to everything that the kohanim and the levim will command you. Now, the Gemara tells us this has two meanings, or it encompasses two things. First of all, that if a person is stricken with saras, which was a type of leprosy, a type of a disease similar to a leprosy, then he was not allowed just to cut it off, just to operate on it, to remove it. But he had to follow the instructions of the kohanim, which are explicit in the Torah. It rendered him tome, impure, and he had to go chutz l'machane, outside of all of the three machanes, the three camps of Israel, until it was cured. Then he had to bring his sacrifices, and so forth. So that's the first mitzvah that's in this statement. Yishomer benega atzaras lishmor me'ayd v'la'asuis, that you should be very careful to deal with the neged saras, with this plague, in accordance to the laws of the Torah, is instructed to you by the Kohanim. But then the Sifri says we learn out another mitzvah from here. And that is that you should be careful not to bring upon yourself a neged saras, this plague. How can a person be careful not to bring upon himself such a plague? What precaution can he take? By not speaking Lashon Hara. Because Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Neged Saras, this plague on her. How do we know it's referring to this? From the very next Pasuk. Because the next Pasuk states, Zochor Eis Asher Osa Hashem Lekecha LaMiriam. You shall remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. B'derech B'tzeischem Mitzrayim, when you were going out of Egypt. So this reveals to us that there are two intentions in this commandment. Firstly, you should be careful to deal with the neged saras, with the leprosy, in accordance to the laws of the Torah. And secondly, you should be careful to take precautions that you should not bring the neged saras upon you. And how is that? By observing the halachos of not speaking Lashon Hara. Now, we're dealing now with a negative commandment. So that's the Shomer. Shomer is a negative commandment. But actually, there's a negative commandment and a positive commandment here, because the Pasuk of Zohar, remember what happened to Miriam, that's a related positive commandment. So, if someone speaks Lashon Hara, they will also transgress this negative commandment. The Sifri, adds on this mitzvah, and also at the end of Baal Eisachor, where the episode of Miriam is brought, that from here we can learn a great deal how harsh HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Lashon Hara. Miriam, she spoke against Moshe because Moshe, she had learned that Moshe had, after he went to receive the Torah, which was in our parshas that we're learning now, he separated himself from his wife Tzipora. Everyone was obligated to separate themselves from their wives for 3 days in order to prepare for the receiving of the Torah. After the Torah was given, so then it states, say, Shuvu lachem lo aleichem, go return to your homes. But Moshe didn't return. And later, Miriam learned about this. And she felt that she would take up the cause for Tzipporah. What right did Moshe have to do this? Where was he commanded to do such a thing? We all stood on Har Sinai. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to all of us. And still all of us were commanded to return to our homes. So she spoke to Aaron, and they discussed this. So the Sifri says that Tzipporah was not mechaven, her intent was not malicious. Miriam's intent was not malicious. And it was to protect the rights of Tzipporah. And it was to bring shalom and bring peace between man and his wife. And she spoke not publicly but privately only to Aaron. And she kept it in the family. And she spoke against Moshe, who she had a love for as great as a love for herself, that she had risked her life to save him. And still, this was the punishment, that a tzaras, a neged tzaras, came upon her. So how much more so when a person speaks lashon hara maliciously against another person, and his kavona is to damage him, and he blurts it out to many people. Sifri says, boy, hey, from here we can see kama, how difficult, how severe the aveira of lashon hara is. There's another point we can learn from here. This the Ramban and this Pasuk brings out. It seems that the Torah is speaking lashon hara here. The Torah writes about this whole episode. And it says what happened to Miriam. And then it tells us in another place, Zohar, that you constantly should remember what happened to Miriam. Now what does it mean, Zohar, you should constantly remember what happened to Miriam? So the Ramban says, this really has to do with the positive commandment. The Chofetz Chaim writes about it there when he goes into that. But Zohar means bepeh. You should remember with your mouth. You should speak about it. You must speak about it. When the Torah says Zohar, for example, it says Zohar Shema Shabbos Lekatshoy. You should remember Shabbos to sanctify it. How do we remember Shabbos to sanctify it? We make Kiddush. See, with Zochrehu bepeh. When the Torah says Zohar, it's asher also L'cho Amolek baderech. Remember what Amolek did to you. And on a Shabbos not too long from now, we will fulfill this mitzvah. Again, is Zohar bepeh. We read what Amalek did to us. It means to remember it orally. So when the Torah says, remember what Miriam did to you, remember what happened to Miriam, the Torah means to speak about it. The Ramban says to tell your children. Now, that itself seems to be Lashon Hara. See, he brings out that the Torah commanded us to reveal and publicize the aveira of this great tzaddikus, of this great righteous woman who was one of the redeemers of Klal Yisrael, in order that we should constantly remember the aveira of Lashon Hara. So you see, ad heichon advarim magim, how far the Torah has gone. At any rate, therefore, if a person is involved in lashon hara, he'll transgress a third commandment, that he's not taking precautions from bringing upon himself the neged tzaras. A fourth negative commandment is what's found in Kedoshim Yutes Posuk Yud Dalet Lifnei Iver Leisitei Mikshul. You shall not place a stumbling block in front of a blind man. What does this mean? Literally, it means you should not trip someone. But the Teresh Balpea, the oral law learns from here. It means that you shall not cause an obstacle in the path of a person to harm him, whether it be physically, whether it be financially, whether it be spiritually. If you tell a person, go do that business deal, and you know it's not a good deal, but you're doing this to tell him because you want to harm him, so you would be either you would transgress this commandment, if you would mislead a person to do an avera, then you also will be able, you'll transgress this mitzvah. And this is a negative commandment, one of the 613 mitzvahs that the Rambam counts in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Mitzvahs Esei Reish Tzadik Tes. And this is relevant to both the one who's speaking Lashon Hara and to the one who's accepting it. Because the one who speaks Lashon Hara, if Reuven is telling Shimon something about Levi, so by Reuven telling Shimon, he is causing Shimon to transgress the Avera. So Reuven's mouth, Reuven's talking, besides he himself is transgressing Averas, he's causing Shimon also to transgress an Avera. So he would transgress the commandment of Lifnei Ivel Esitei Mikson. And Shimon, by listening, is causing Reuven to transgress the Avera. Because as the Chofetz Chaim says, if Shimon won't listen, Reuven won't go tell the wall. He's only talking because someone's listening to him. So Shimon is causing Reuven to speak Lashon Hara. If Shimon would close his ears and tell him, I'm not listening to a word, if you keep talking, I'm leaving, then Reuven will keep quiet. But by sitting there and listening, so he's causing Reuven now to transgress the Avera. So each one will be Aver Lifnei Ivel Esitei Mikson. Similarities to this we find in the Shas. For example, the Gemara says in Bo Metzia Ayin Hei Omed Beis that the Torah says you're not allowed to lend money to another Jew and charge him interest. And the Torah says you're not allowed to borrow money from another Jew and pay interest. So the Gemara says that the lender, besides transgressing that mitzvah, is also evil if naiver, he's causing the other one to transgress the mitzvah. And the borrower is causing, he's being machshel, he's tripping up the malva, the lender. Because they are aiding, they are causing, they are leading each other into averus. Another example the Gemara brings, Gemara says that you should never lend money to another person without some type of proof. Says the Gemara's illustration is Amalva Belaidim, that when you lend money to another person, there should be witnesses. The Peskim and Shulchan Aruch bring at least there should be some type of proof on it. Because if there's no type of proof, so it could be that you could be putting him in a position where it'll be easy for him to deny, or even if he doesn't remember, and it'll come out that he might be stealing money from you. And it could be a shailan if naiver, of placing a stumbling block in front of another fellow Jew. Another example the Gemara brings in Maid Cotton, that a father is not allowed to strike an older son. Because if he strikes an older son, then he can incite him to strike back, which is a very great avera. So again, he's leading him in a position to where he might place him, incite him to do an avera. To incite someone else to do an avera is allowed. There's a negative commandment of Lifnei Ivel Esitei Mikson. We are now in the yeshiva learning Chulin, Masechta Chulin. And we just came across this mitzvah. There was a group of people called the Kusim. They were the Samaritans. And they were Megayer. They became Jews. But they didn't keep all mitzvahs. They kept most of the mitzvahs which were written explicitly in the Torah, the written law. But the oral law, they generally didn't keep. Only certain mitzvahs. But the Gemara says that a mitzvah that they did keep, they kept it even more religiously than a Jew. So the Gemara says like this, that when it came to the mitzvahs of Nevela and Treifus, of Kashrus, that they kept very religiously. But the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, Loisitei Mikshol, that you should not cause another Jew to do an Avera, this they learned in accordance to its simple text. You shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. That's all. So therefore the Gemara said that if they shecht an animal for themselves, then you could rely that it was kosher. But if they shechting for you, you couldn't rely it's kosher. Because kashrus they kept for themselves, but they didn't care about giving treifus to someone else. Because by them there was no such Aveira of Lifnei Iver Leisitein Mikshul, of placing a stumbling block in front of someone else. So therefore, if there was a Kusi that was a Sheikhet, there was only two ways you can trust him. Either if you watched him Shecht, or if you didn't watch him Shecht, but you took some of the meat and asked him to eat from it. If he would eat, then you could eat from it. If he wouldn't eat, then you could not eat from it. Another point on this Aveira, as the Chofetz Chaim says, that this Aveira in regards to the one who's saying the Lashon Hara is going to multiply in accordance to the number of listeners. If he says the Lashon Hara to one person, so then he transgresses Lifnei Iver to one person. But if he says it to 10 people, so then he's causing 10 people now to listen to Lashon Hara. So he'll have 10 Aveiras. So that numbers, that multiplies in accordance to the number of listeners. In general, for this reason, a person must be very careful about whenever he's in a situation of listening to Lashon Hara. Because you could say that even if he won't believe it himself, but meanwhile now, he's aiding the other one to say the Lashon Hara, because if he's not there, the other person won't talk. He's not going to talk to the wall. And he brings that Reb Lezer Agudel, the great Tana Reb Lezer, Tzivel Horkenes Benai, he commanded Horkenes his son, Beni, my son, Al Teishev Bechaburais Ha'emrim Genai Mechavrehem, never sit amongst a group of people where they speak ill against their fellow man. Ki Kishadvorim Emlim Lamalo, because everything that's spoken here goes up. And when it goes up into the upper world, b'sefer nichtovin, everything is written down. V'chol ha'einim shom nichtovin b'shem chaburis resha, and it's recorded the names of all of the people that were sitting there. If a person, if one or many people are saying badly about their friends, so this conversation is recorded. And with it is recorded all of the names of the people who are sitting in the group. And it's labeled as a chaburis resha, as an evil group. So you might be an innocent bystander. You just for some reason happen to be there. But your name is going to be recorded lamalo, upstairs, as a chaburis resha, as an evil group. Therefore he commanded his son Hurkanes never sit with people who speak Lashon Hara. If you're at a tea, you had a breakfast, you're at a dinner engagement, and there's this type of gossip and slander going on, get out of there quickly. Don't stay there. Because even if you sit there silently, your name is going to be recorded lamala. This is what he told him. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, he used to give two examples on this. One is that it was during his time that modern technology started to evolve. And people used to hear the radio, the phonograph, wonders. And all of a sudden was the technical explosion. He lived from 1830s to the 1930s. That was the time of the Industrial Revolution. So they once asked him, how come we find that so much has been discovered in these last few years. Here, the world went on for thousands and thousands of years. It was civilized, had a lot of inventions. But this whole era of electronics, electricity, it's all exploded in this time. So he used to give an answer on it. He said, because you'll find that in these last 100 years, the level, the spiritual level of the world, and this level of emuna, of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has dropped more than it did in hundreds of generations. People used to believe. These last 100 years, all of a sudden, today people are emancipated. They are enlightened. They don't believe anymore. They're scoffers. So when the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears everything that a person says, they scoff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that everything that's said here is written lamala, they scoff. When it states that every word that a person says will be played back to him in the world to come, they scoff at it. He says, with all of these modern inventions, he says, this is teaching us more emuna. See, more emuna. That we won't scoff so much. And it's become very true. It used to be you would tell someone something like that, his eyes would open up. Today, you tell something someone like that, they'll tell you, well, it's a phonograph, it's a tape recorder. It's a different generation. My own son, 6 years old, he once saw a calculator that I had, and he says, does it have... He told people, when someone sends a telegram, watch him. Now, first, he takes a piece of paper and he writes out down the message. Then he looks over the message again and sees what words he can eliminate. Then he tries to eliminate it again. He gets it down to bare minimums. Then he goes to the telegraph office and he sends the telegram. He says, why? Why does he go to all of that trouble? Because he knows that each word is going to cost the money. See, this is what he used to say. Because he knows that each word is going to cost him. He says the same thing. A Jew should talk. He must talk. But he must be very careful with what words he uses. A fifth transgression is what states in the Torah in Parshas Ekev. Perches posuk yud aleph, hishom melecho pen tishkach es Hashem lekecho. States, be careful lest you forget the Lord your God. There the Torah is telling us that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a great, beautiful land. And it will have beautiful fruits. And you will eat. And you will drink. And you will be satisfied. And you will find beautiful homes there that you didn't even build. And all types of silver and gold. And then the Torah says, Yishom alecho, be careful. Verom levovcho. It's the human nature that when we have a lot and we become very mighty, Rom levovcho, we become arrogant. And when one becomes arrogant, v'shochachto, immediately he doesn't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. When he's poor, he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he has a lot, he doesn't need anyone anymore. So he forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara in Masechta Seita, on Daf Hei, says, Azor legasei ruach minayin. How do we know that one transgresses a negative commandment if he becomes arrogant? Because it states, v'rom levovcho, you will become arrogant. Yishom elecho, guard yourself. Wherever it states Yishom el guard, that's a negative commandment. That's a prohibition. Yishom elecho, I prohibit you from becoming arrogant, because through this you will forget the Lord your God. So this is a prohibition of arrogance. We've given shurim on this. Chofetz Chaim writes that when a person speaks against his friend and starts to downright him, this is really a display of arrogance in many, many cases. Because he's saying, this person, he does that wrong, he does this wrong, he does that wrong. He's implying, though, that this is a fault in him, not in me. I do it right, I do it better. This is not a shortcoming in me. So it's a display of arrogance. Because if he would recognize the same shortcoming in himself, he's not going to go and tell people that Reuben has this problem when he himself has that problem. So he overlooks the problems in himself, and he is displaying himself as the Isha Sholem, as the perfect man, and this is the one who has the shortcomings, the errors in him. So it's a display of arrogance. And through this Lashon Hara, now he transgresses another seemingly total unrelated negative commandment. Avishom alecho, pentishkach es Hashem alekecho. The Gemara says the Mishnah, that kol anegonim odem makir chutz minigi atzmei. But a person is able to recognize every shortcoming except the shortcomings in himself. And that usually comes out with the Baal Lashon Hara. He always sees what's wrong with someone else, but he doesn't see what's wrong with himself. If he would see that he has these same problems himself, he wouldn't be talking about other people. And this is a tremendous aveda. The Gemara brings insight to. It's a tremendous aveda, arrogance. Gemara, a few statements that the Gemara makes on it, the she'ein afrei nina l'tchias ha-meisim, that when it comes to tchias ha-meisim, the resurrection of the dead, this person won't get up. And the Gemara says, someone who's arrogant, it's as if he worships idols. And the Shekhinah says, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that there's no room for me and him together. There's no room for both of us to live in this world together. And then there's another type of arrogance, which is even a greater Aveda. And that's when he's mishabed the klein chaveri. That's when a person, you do find individuals like that, when another person has a downfall, this one exploits it. He exploits it for his own good, for his own covet. He points a finger at another person to raise himself up. He takes honor from the disgrace of his fellow man. On that, the Chazal say, Ein lechelek leilam abo. That person can lose, heaven forbid, his portion in the world to come. Now, this is very common when a person speaks Lashon Hara. When he's saying, what's wrong with this other person? This Aveda that we're speaking about now is unfortunately very common in our time. When we have many people that come back to Yiddishkeit, the Chazrei B'Tshuva, they return to Yiddishkeit, and they're new to Yiddishkeit. Many are not, but unfortunately many, all over the world, before you know it, they're criticizing other people. Criticizing other people that are not keeping certain mitzvahs that they themselves didn't keep a few months ago, and today they're keeping. They're pointing fingers at other people. He eats this. He does that. He doesn't do this. And these same people did the same thing themselves. But now they're criticizing other people. What are they bringing out? Say that I'm the frumer one, not them. This is the arrogance. This is the gasei ruach. And unfortunately, a tragedy of our times is you find many people in such situations that are criticizing their own parents. They become frum, and they leave their parents behind. They are not frum. Alright, this is very good. But then they start pointing their finger at their parents. Start to criticize and start to say Lashon Hara. To show how much greater and how much more frum I am than you. And this goes to Bechlau, this is included here in Gasei Ruach, in arrogance, besides the Loshon Hara, but in the arrogance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he will have no part of. A sheikhet once told me, a man who was frum his entire life, very, very wonderful person, he told me that he knows people that maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, never kept kosher, and now they speak against his shechita. They want to keep kosher. It's a wonderful mitzvah. They want to be frum. It's a wonderful mitzvah. But what are you? Why are you hitting out at those that are not? And this was not a case of that. This is unfortunately is another common enigma, that they start hitting out at people that are even frum because they think they're frumer. This is this Gasei Ruach Hishom Elecho Verom Levoncho. A sixth Avera, also a very serious Avera, is the Chofetz Chaim brings Eivir and Ami Amasapev and Makabel Lav Delei Sechalelu Hashem Kotshi. This is an interesting, very interesting aspect that he brings. In Parshas Emor Vayikra Chof Beis Posig Lamed Beis, it states Lei Sechalelu Hashem Kotshi, that you shall not desecrate my name. This is the Aveira of Chilul Hashem. Now what's the Aveira of Chilul Hashem have to do with Loshon Hara? So the Rambam brings in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Leisa says, Samach Gimel, that there are three aspects to Chilul Hashem, to the desecration of Hashem's name. The first aspect is when one is called to give his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, he's forced to worship idolatry and so forth. He's called upon to give his life. That's the first aspect. That we're all familiar with. But there's a second aspect which we're not familiar with. The Rambam says that when a person does an Aveira that he has no physical desire to do, and that he has no physical reward for doing, if he does such an Aveira, he says that's a Chilul Hashem, that's a desecration of Hashem's name. Because if a person does an Aveira that he has a physical drive to do, or some type of physical satisfaction from, if he wants to eat treifas and nevelas, so we see why he's doing it. He's doing it because he's getting something in return from it. But if a person does an Aveira where there is no physical desire involved, so why is he doing it? So this is what the Gemara calls like a Mumen Ahachis. He's doing it because he entirely negates the Tzivui Hashem, the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a king makes a command, say, and the servant doesn't keep it because he was bribed, it's a tremendous Aveira. Okay. But it's, we can see why he did it. But if a king makes a command and the servant doesn't do it for no reason whatsoever, that's treason. Okay. That's a rejection, a total rejection of the mitzvah Hashem. The Rambam says that whenever you take a mitzvah and you totally reject it, that's being makel b'chayr ha-teira. That's a disgrace to the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's a disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are desecrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Now the Chofetz Chaim brings that the Gemara in Masechta Tainus states, this is a Gemara we brought many times, and Afkes, that in the world to come all of the wildlife will come together and they will all gather around the serpent And they'll ask the serpent, why are you different than everyone else? All of us, the only time we eat is in order to satisfy ourselves. We kill in order to eat. But you go and you bite and you kill without any satisfaction whatsoever. The serpent is the only animal that will destroy for no physical reason. No other animal will do this. If you happen to confront a lion one day in Kruger National Park, and you have Mazel that he just had a big meal, he'll leave you alone. He'll walk away. See? But a serpent is not like that. So all of the wildlife will come to the serpent and they'll ask them, why are you different than the rule of nature in the world? So the serpent answers. He says, why are you coming to me? Lech al Baal HaLoshen. Go to man. Go to the Baal HaLoshen Hara, to the slanderer. He also has this nature. And from here the Chazal are bringing out that when a person speaks Loshen Hara, there is no physical reward, remuneration for it. It's destructive. It's malicious. It's malicious destruction that's based on a pathological intent. And therefore this falls in the category. But when a person speaks Loshon Hara, he's not driven to speak Loshon Hara because he's going to get something in return. So this becomes a total rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. And the Chofetz Chaim says, you know, he says, we see this. He says, it's a strange thing. When you come to a Jew that keeps mitzvahs, and you tell him, you know, that this clothing that you're wearing is shatness, he immediately gets a fright. Or if you tell him, you know, this food that you're eating, the Beis Din took it off the list, it's treif, he immediately gets a fright. What? But he says, if you come to a Jew that keeps mitzvahs and you tell him, you know what you're saying is Loshon Hara, he'll give you an argument. He'll say, what do you mean it's Loshon Hara? And when you tell him again it's Loshon Hara, he'll tell you, this is a mitzvah to say. And that person, it's a mitzvah to say this and this. It's a great mitzvah to spread around. He says, you never see this by another Aveda? You see how hefker, how it becomes totally hefker, that in the eyes of people, such a mitzvah doesn't exist. This is the Chilul Hashem. See, this is the Chilul Hashem. The desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, of his mitzvah. It's a total rejection. So it comes out that someone who speaks Loshon Hara transgresses Chilul Hashem also. And Chilul Hashem, the Gemara says, the punishment is tremendous. Gives an example that if at the end of the year when all of the mitzvahs and avedas are weighed up of a person, and if it comes half and half, so then his fate is left in abeyance till Yom Kippur. But if one Aveda is Chilul Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name, then it totally outweighs the other side. And then there's a second category of another category of Chilul Hashem that's related here. The Rambam brings, this is from the Gemara in Yuma, that if a person does anything which is not an Aveda, certainly if it is an Aveda, and he's the type of person that other people will learn from, and from there they will learn to do something wrong, then that's Chilul Hashem. This we've also gone through many times. For example, he brings that if a Talmud Chochem, a great Torah scholar, if he's not, doesn't conduct himself properly, doesn't dress himself properly, he goes not well groomed and not tidy, and this will come to people to start to despise Torah, or if he will his mannerisms are not refined, then this is Chilul Hashem. Even if they're not actual averus that the person's doing. Certainly if someone does something that looks like an avera and it will mislead other people, this is a Chilul Hashem. So Netta Chofetz Chaim says, accordingly, if the person who speaks Lashon Hara is already a person who's a person of stature, and other people now learn from that, he says, how this then it goes into the category of the desecration of Hashem's name. And on this he writes how careful a ben yeshiva, b'nei Torah must be. People who learn in yeshiva. That they must never open their mouths against someone else. Only in rare, very, very rare instances. But he says otherwise they must never. Because people will learn from them. And they'll be held responsible. Just last night, I had the privilege of hearing Reb Simcha Wasserman, the son of Reb Elchanan Wasserman, who's in Johannesburg now, speak. And he told over a wonderful story with the Chofetz Chaim. His father was a disciple of the Chofetz Chaim. But this, he was there. This took place, he said, a long time ago. It was about 1919, I think he said it was. So that was about 60 years ago. And they were on a train. The Chofetz Chaim decided, this was around the time of the First World War, and things were very dangerous then. And Jews were forced to move from one city to the other. The Chofetz Chaim decided that where they were living was not safe anymore. So he said that we must leave. So on Thursday afternoon they got onto a train, which was a 4-hour journey, to go to another town. And Reb Simcha Wasserman was on the train together with his family, Reb Elchanan, and other Jews. And there were a lot of troop maneuvers in the whole area. The whole area was active now with military movements. And this caused a great delay in the train. And instead of taking 4 hours, they traveled the whole night and the whole next day. And when it came almost to Lichtenstein, to the time of Shabbos, they were still on the train and they hadn't reached their destination yet. So the Chofetz Chaim, when it came 10 minutes before Lichtenstein, the Chofetz Chaim said, I am going off. And I think his immediate family went with him. He's going off the train. We'll walk. His Rebbetzin had prepared, even though she left Thursday afternoon, she had brought kitkes with Shabbos candles and everything, all Shabbos meal. So the Chofetz Chaim instructed her to give all of that to the rest of the Jews on the train. So when they asked, they said, should we also come off the train? So he said, no, you must not come off the train because it's a sakon, it's a danger. It was a great danger for Jews to be walking around because there were military maneuvers and state of war with anti-Semitism. He says, no, you must remain on the train. Because sakonas nefoshes is deicha Shabbos. When it comes to danger, that comes before Shabbos. So then they asked the Chofetz Chaim, so why are you getting off the train then? So he answered a very good answer. He said, because if I'll stay on the train, so people will learn from me that when you're on a train, you're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos under all circumstances. They'll say, if you're traveling and there's no alternative, you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos. So he says, that's Chilul Hashem. So that's the desecration of Hashem's name. And when it comes to the desecration of Hashem's name, Pikuach Nefesh, Sakonas Nefoshes, is not Deicha. Danger does not take precedence. The proof is because we're even obligated to give our life before desecrating Hashem's name. So in other words, he told them that in regards to you, it's only a question of Shabbos. So then you must stay on the train. But in regards to me, it's not just the Aveir of Shabbos, it's the Aveir of Chilul Hashem also. People will say, the Chofetz Chaim, he rode on a train on Shabbos. This means that if you're on a train and Shabbos comes, you can stay on the train. That's Chilul Hashem. And therefore he got off. So this shows us what Chil Hashem is, how a person must always be very careful not to put himself in a light where others will learn to do averes from. The hour is late. I thought we would be able to get through the first 10 mitzvahs, but we were not able to. We only got through the first 6. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, if we have an opportunity, we'll continue at another time. But what we've learned this evening is that besides the actual Aveda of Lashon Hara, there are many related Averas. And the ones that we mentioned this evening were Leseilech Rochel Ba'amecho. This relates directly to Lashon Hara, that you shall not be a talebearer. Leisisa Hashem Ashov, you shall not accept or say Lashon Hara. Ishomar Benega Tzoras Nishmar Me'ayid, guard yourself carefully. Take precautions that the leprosy plague should not come upon you, which was brought through Lashon Hara. You should not cause a stumbling block to others. Cause them to do Aveira, which by saying Lashon Hara, you're causing the one to listen to do an Aveira, and the one who's listening is causing the one who is saying to do an Aveira. You shall guard yourself carefully not to become arrogant and forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when one derides another person, he's lifting himself up to show that he's better than the other person. This is arrogance. And Leisechalel Hashem Kodshi, you shall not desecrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. That when one does an Aveira, not because of a physical drive, then it's classified that as this Aveira does not exist. And to say an Aveda does not exist, a command from a king does not exist, that's treason. That's the desecration of the authority of the king, totally. And that's Chil Hashem. So that would be a 6th commandment that one would be over. Let me just repeat over something else that I heard last night, that when someone asked Rabbi Wasserman, what should Jews do today to help bring back Yiddishkeit? So he looked at them very wondrously. He says, what do you mean what you should do? Should study Torah? He says, this is what Jews always did to bring back Yiddishkeit. He says, the Torah is the service manual of the Jew. If you buy a car, if you don't have a service manual, you don't know how to operate it. He says, a Jew without Torah doesn't know how to operate. The Torah guides the Jew how to be a Jew. So what's the question? How should we strengthen Judaism? We strengthen Yiddishkeit by studying Torah. By studying Torah and by teaching Torah. And there's no doubt that when it comes to mitzvahs like these, the only way that one can be strengthened is by studying Torah. The fact is, the Gemara says, what should a person do to be nitzel from Lashon Hara? Okay. So it says, Yasek v'Torah. He must study Torah. Firstly, we're not aware. Many people are not cognizant of this. And secondly, Torah uplifts the person. And it uplifts him beyond the Yetzer Hara, the Keach, the powers, the impure powers in the world. So we should be zeichet to continue to study Torah and to study about these mitzvahs in order that we can fulfill these mitzvahs at a higher level.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.